Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, 2nd Chapter, Text 48.
Grihitvapi indriyairarthan
yona
dveshtina hrishyati normayamidam pashyan Savai Bhagavatottamaha Gruhitvapi Indriyair Archan
Yona
Dveshtina Hrishyati Vishnor Mayamidam Pashyan
Savai
Bhagavatottamaha Gruhitvapi Indriyair Archan
Yuna
dveshtina hrishyati
Vishnur
mayamidam pashyan
Savai
Bhagavat
uttamaha
Yuna dveshtina hrishyati
Vishnur
mayamidam pashyan
Savai
Bhagavato Uttamaha
Grihitvapi
Indriyair Arthan
Yona
Dveshtina Hrishyati
Vishnur
Mayamidam Pashyan
Savai
Bhagavato Uttamaha
Grihitvapi
Indriyair Arthan
Yuna
dveshti narishyati
Vishnur
mayamidam pashyan
Savai
Bhagavata uttamaha
Matajis
Vipa indriyair arthan
Yuna
dveshti narishyati
Vishnur
mayamidam pashyan
Savai
Bhagavata Uttamaha
Grihitvam
Indriyair Arthan
Yona
Dveshtina Hrishyati
Vishnur
Mayamidam Pashyan
Savai
Bhagavata Uttamaha
Grihitvam
Indriyair Arthan
Yona
dveshti narishyati
Vishnu
mayamidam pashyan
Savai
Bhagavata uttamaha
Word by word meaning Grihitva
accepting
Api
even though
Indriyaihi
with
his senses
Arthan
Objects of the senses.
Yaha,
who,
na dveshti,
does not hate,
na hrishyati,
does not
rejoice,
Vishnoho,
of
the Supreme Lord,
Vishnu,
mayam,
the
illusory potency,
idam,
this
material
universe,
pashyan,
seeing
as,
saha,
he,
why,
Indeed,
Bhagavata
Uttamaha,
a first-class
devotee.
Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Even while engaging his senses in contact with their objects, one who sees this whole world as energy of Lord Vishnu is neither repelled nor elated. He is indeed the greatest among devotees. Purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, the position of Uttam Adhikari or first class devotee of the Lord is so worshipable that additional symptoms are now given in 8 verses. We understood that unless one comes in contact with the lotus feet of a pure devotee of the Lord, the path of freedom from material illusion is very difficult to understand. In the 5th of Upadeshamrita, Srila Rupa Goswami has stated, Shushrushaya bhajana vijnam anyanyam anya nindadi shunya ridam tapshita sanga labhya. One should associate with and faithfully serve that pure devotee who is advanced in undeviated devotional service and whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. Srila Prabhupada comments, in this verse, Srila Rupa Goswami advises the devotee to be intelligent enough to distinguish between the Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari and Uttama Adhikari. A neophyte Vaishnava or a Vaishnava situated on the intermediate platform can also accept disciples, but such disciples must be on the same platform, and it should be understood that they cannot advance very well toward the ultimate goal of life under his insufficient guidance. Therefore, a disciple should be careful to accept an Uttamadhikari as a spiritual master. Therefore, additional symptoms will now be given so that the conditioned soul who desires to go back home, back to Godhead, can properly identify the bona fide spiritual master. According to Srila Sridhar Swami and Srila Jiva Goswami, associating with a pure devotee of the Lord is so important that now that the various categories of devotional service have been defined, 8 additional verses are given concerning the qualification of a pure devotee, so that students of Srimad Bhagavatam will make no mistake in this connection. Similarly, in the 2nd chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asks Krishna about the symptoms of a completely Krishna conscious person, and Krishna elaborately explained the symptoms of one who is prajna pratishtha or established in Krishna consciousness. Defecation mentioned in this verse is Vishnur Mayam Idam Pashyan. One should see the entire material universe as a product of the illusory energy of the Lord. There is no question of lamenting or rejoicing for that which is property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Within the world, one generally laments upon losing something desirable and rejoices upon acquiring the object of his wish. But since a pure devotee has no personal desire whatsoever, Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Ata Eva Shanta, there is no question of gain or loss. As the Lord Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Na Shochyati Na Kankshati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. One who is transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. Similarly, Lord Shiva says to his wife Parvati while glorifying the character of King Chitraketu, Narayana parasarve nakutaschana bibhyati Swarga apavarga narkeshu apitulyartha darshinaha. Devotees solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation and hellish planets are all the same, for such devotees are interested only in service of the Lord. This state of complete satisfaction in the devotional service of Krishna is not a mental concoction achieved by artificial meditation, but is a result of having experienced the superior nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the reservoir of transcendental bliss. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, rasavarjam rasopasya param drushtva nivartate. When impersonalists and voidists artificially try to push material things out of their mind, they undergo great hardships and ordeals in the artificial meditation. Klesho adiktaras tesham avyaktasakta chetasam avyaktyahi gatir dukham dehavadbhir avapyate. So, I have been asked to read purport only up to this point in time. There is a further follow-up which we'll hear from some other devotee, maybe on Tuesday.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobheshtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamayam Yadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tamsa Jeevam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Devrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Even while engaging his senses in contact with other objects, one who sees this whole world as the energy of Lord Vishnu is neither repelled nor elated. He is indeed the greatest among devotees. At the very outset, I seek the blessings of all the exalted Vaishnavas sitting in this temple hall, and also those Vaishnavas who are probably hearing me on the internet. I seek their blessings as well. So this is a beautiful verse, and for the last several weeks we have been hearing about the Navayogendras. Speaker after speaker has come and given us excellent classes on the teachings of the Navayogendras. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto itself, there is a beautiful verse.
Rudehamadyam sulabam sudurham Plavam sukalpam guru karna dharam Mayanukulena nabasvateritam Puman bhavabdhim natsaresa atmaha.
So this is a verse which is quoted by none other than the Supreme Lord Krishna himself. He tells Uddhava, he says that Rudeha Madhyam Sulabham Sudurlabham. He says that we have acquired this rare human form of this body easily, Sulabha, but it is not so easy as well, because we have acquired this human form of body after passing through many yonis, passed through eight 0.4 million species of life, and eventually we have landed with this human body. And Krishna tells Uddhava that this human body is constructed like a well, you know, constructed boat. Plavam Sukalpam. Sukalpam means well constructed body. The Titanic also was supposed to be well constructed, but it sank. So your human body is a well constructed one. Lord has made it in such a way. Plavam Prukham. And Guru Karnadharam. A boat cannot move without the stewardship of a captain or a Karnadhar. So who is the Karnadhar of our existence? Guru. Spiritual master. Guru Karnadharam. Maya anukulena nabhasvateritam. Nabhasvateritam. Maya anukulena. Krishna, out of his great compassion, has given us so many Vedic literatures like the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. We also have Chaitanya Charitamrita. So many Vedic literatures, because of which we can come to know what is the highest perfection of human life. So we have a human body. We can go through our life without ever thinking of God, the Supreme Personality of God. We can just, you know, one fine day quit the world and wither away. But there is also a higher purpose which Lord says, the perfection of human life. So Krishna says, he says that if after getting a human form of birth, if after getting wonderful spiritual literatures like the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, if we as human beings do not make use of such literatures, then we have verily wasted our life. It is as good as killing our own soul. That is what Krishna says. Of course, the soul cannot be killed, but he says that is as good as you are doing that. So Krishna, out of great compassion, is feeling mercy for all of us. He says that, please, make use of this human form of existence. So not only does he give us all these spiritual literatures, but he also sends various representatives of his. In this present instance, the Navayogendras are representatives of the Supreme Lord, sons of Rishabhdev, the nine exalted sons who are not at all on the bodily platform, who have transcended the bodily platform, who are very, very exalted sons. So these such devotees are sent by the Supreme Lord for those devotees who are pursuing spiritual life but who are in some sort of a distress, and the Lord dispatches his own beloved, you know, pure devotees to help us solve this. So, question that may arise in our mind, we have got a nicely constructed body, this boat, but question that may arise in our mind, what is the perfection of human life? So, what the perfection of human life is to take shelter of the Supreme Lord Krishna. To take shelter of the Supreme Lord Krishna and render to him loving devotional service. There is no other path which is perfect. There are other paths, undoubtedly. Bhagavad Gita is replete with so many other paths. Jnana, Yoga, Karma, Yoga, so many other paths. Not to criticize or, you know, wish away all these paths. They may also have their validity. Actually, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, the sloka is quoted here, Kleshaha adhikattaras tesham avyakta asakta chetasam avyaktahi gatir dukkham. He says that we are all embodied people, and being in a body, we tend to, you know, look for the something which is beyond the body, impersonal. But Krishna says, avyakta, these kleshaha adhikataraha tesham. He doesn't say this path is not valid. He says it is there. It is quoted here in this verse. But he says that these are difficult paths. So what is the most beautiful path which we as human beings can pursue in this human form of existence? So, some verses earlier, there was a beautiful shloka which I would like to quote. Bhaktihi pareshanubaha viraktihi anyatra cha evaha trin eka kalaha prapadyamanasya yatha ashnataha syuhu tushtihi pushtihi chut apaya anughasam. Very beautiful verse. So what does the taking shelter of the Supreme Lord givers. What do we get when we take shelter of? Yes, we have said that this is the perfect way of doing it, but what do we get? This is answered by the Navayogendra himself, one of the Navayogendras, Kavi. He says in earlier verse, he says that Bhakti hi paresha anubhavaha. He says that the first gain that we get is bhakti, devotional service unto the Lord. This is what we get when we take shelter of the Lord. And second one is direct experience of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Paresha para isha anubhavaha. Direct experience of the Supreme Lord. And third one, what we get? Virakti, detachment. All these three things come when we take to the process of devotional service or take the shelter of the Supreme Lord. This is what we get very, very easily. And this is just like when we are hungry and we eat something. What happens? So what happens is that we get tushti pushti. So we get, you know, satisfaction that we have eaten something. We also get nourishment. And we get that nourishment in pratighasam. Every morsel that we eat gives us satisfaction. Just imagine, we are famished. And, you know, you want to eat something. And when you have eaten that, you get all this automatically. All three you get simultaneously. Just as you get, you know, bhakti, you get pareshanubhava, and you get virakti, all three. Similarly, when a hungry man eats something, it's a beautiful example that has been given, he gets all these very, very easily. So, these are the advantages of taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is glorified in all these pages. Then, Krishna himself also, in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, quotes a verse, Machita madgata pranaha bodhayanta parasparam. He says, Katayantascha mam nityam tushyanticha ramanticha. He says that machitta, the thoughts of my devotees dwell in their lives and they are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss. How? By always enlightening one another and conversing about me. So the process of bhakti, which is being recommended in these pages, is a very joyful process. It is not that at a subjective level we enjoy, we really derive bliss, but we like to talk about it. Tushyanti, kathayantascha mam nityam, tushyanti cha ramanti cha. So, not only does one derive happiness oneself, but we derive great pleasure by talking about Krishna, by talking about his activities, by talking about his wonderful divine activities. You get great pleasure by talking about it to others also. So this way, bhakti is all encompassing. As compared to several other paths, as I said, kleshaha adhikatarastesham. It's not that Prabhupada writes in a purport to this verse, kleshaha adhikatarastesham. He says that this is also a path. It's not that it is not a path. But he says there is a lot of problem, klesha. It's like, you know, you're climbing, you know, Eiffel Tower. When the facility of an elevator is there, you're still, you know, climbing it step by step. Arduous. So, Krishna has provided us easy way, that is the bhakti marga that has been provided. So, we find that not only the scriptures tell us the glories of devotional service, but in the scriptures, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, every other page has an account of an Uttam Adhikari. Srimad Bhagavatam pages, if you have gone through Srimad Bhagavatam, we don't need to look, you know, far. Where are the Uttam Adhikaris? Uttam Adhikaris are there in every page of Srimad Bhagavatam. There are so many. So, that is the subject of this verse and this text also. So, I would like to speak about some Uttam Adhikaris. Who figure in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. One can go on talking about them, but I will select a few. So we find that the Ved Vyas, an exalted literary incarnation of the Supreme Lord himself, very exalted devotee, who gave such wonderful literatures. He gave the Vedanta Sutras, he compiled the Vedas, he gave the Mahabharata, so many literatures he provided to the world at large for the consumption of people like us.
But after doing all that, also, he was mentally not very happy. He knew that he had done something, but he was not very happy about it. So when a devotee of the Lord is troubled, Krishna takes care to send some exalted devotee who will eliminate this mental agony of his perturbed devotee. So Vedvyas is not an ordinary personality, he is a literary incarnation of the Lord himself. But yet, after compiling all the literatures, he was not all that happy. He was unhappy, he was disturbed. So on such occasions, Krishna somehow or the manages to send some exalted devotees to relieve that person of this, you know, distress. So one day when Vedvyas was sitting in his ashram on the banks of river Saraswati, brooding, I have compiled this literature, but something seems to be missing in that. Some element is missing. He's brooding like that, sitting there thinking. Just at that time, who comes there? Tasyaiva kila atmanam manyamanasta siddhyatah krishnasya narada abhyagat ashramam prak udahritam. So just when Vedvyas is sitting in his ashram thinking of all the defects in what he has done, this always happens to all sensitive human beings. You do some activity according to you have done your best, but after then you feel that, oh, this is something missing. This I always feel after Bhagavatam lecture. You know, I have included this, but this element is missing. You know, I should have done that. We are not so capable, and therefore we miss out on many things. So here it's not like that. Vedvyas is perfect. So Prabhupada, in his purport to this comment, he says that there was no lack of knowledge on the part of Vedvyas. There was no lack of knowledge. There was abundant. Vedvyas is full of knowledge, but yet he was feeling some void, you know, he was feeling some vacuum, Prabhupada writes, some vacuum in his consciousness. So Narad Muni comes there. Naradaha abhyagat ashramam prak udaharitam. So just when he is troubled, the spiritual master of, you know, Vedvyas, Narad Muni, comes there. Devarshi Narad comes there. And it's not as if, you know, Vedvyas has sent an SMS to his guru. Please come, you know, I'm in distress. He just comes. That is the arrangement of the Lord with everyone. We'll find other examples also later on. So that's the arrangement. So Narada comes there and Vedvyas confesses to him. So there are no secrets between Shishya and Guru. He confesses to him, you know, that I've done so much, but I'm not happy. This is described elaborately in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Says that I have done so much, but you know, I'm not all that, you know, happy about what I have done. And just like an expert, you know, doctor diagnoses the problem, similarly, Narad Muni immediately, you know, diagnoses the problem of Vedvyas. He says that you have compiled beautiful literature. You have spoken about dharma, artha, kama. You have done so much. Everything what you have done is okay. But you have not glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You have not glorified Him. You have not talked about His activities. And because you have not spoken about Him, therefore, you know, you are feeling this vacuum in the core of your heart. So do that and you will be completely satisfied. Vedavyas accepts it immediately. He doesn't say that, you know, I have done so much, you know. No, no. He says that, yes, Guruji, what you have pointed out is correct. And then that's how this Srimad Bhagavatam comes into being. Kamala Purana. Paramahamsa Samhita, as some people call it. So, very, very pure Purana. This was composed by Vedvyas. And this Purana actually has taken the place of the Supreme Lord Krishna when He bound up His lilas on this planet Earth, went back home to His own abode. At that time, it is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam itself that Bhagavatam takes care. So Bhagavatam is non-different from the Supreme Lord. Composed by Vedvyas, inspired work, everything is there in that. So this way, whenever the devotees are in distress,
Krishna takes care. In this case, we have an example of Narad Muni coming there, appearing there, unasked, unsolicited. He comes there and sorts out the problem. So, this Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken to Parikshit Maharaj by Shukdev Goswami. So, Parikshit Maharaj is a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord. Yet, he commits a transgression, he commits an aparad, unintended, towards Shamik Rishi. He goes to his ashram, his throat is parched, he's very thirsty. Nirjala Ekadashi is approaching. So, he's very, very thirsty. He wants to drink, water. He wants some relief. But somehow or the other, Shamik Rishi is in deep trance. He has not wantonly neglected the ruler, the Chakravarti Samrat. He just somehow or the other neglects him, and Parikshit Maharaj, in a frenzy, there is a dead snake lying there. He puts it around the neck of Shamik Rishi and just walks out. As soon as he does that, he knows that he has done something wrong. Parikshit Maharaj is not an ordinary personality. He is called as Vishnurat, one who always pleases Lord Vishnu. Such a great personality. In the womb of his mother Uttara, he had seen the Lord himself. So, not an ordinary personality also, a very just ruler. But somehow or the other, in the frenzy of that thirst, he immediately, does this action and of course regrets it. So, actually, acharyas say that this was an action which he performed because that was ordained, Destiny willed it that way. Because later on we find Parikshit Maharaj hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam for 7 days and seven nights without even a drop of water. So that is Parikshit Maharaj. But at that moment, he does this activity. So what happens? Parikshit Maharaj, when the son of Shamik Rishi comes to know that such a thing has happened, he becomes very angry. Now, this son, Sringi, he is an expert in tapa. He has done tapa, but he is not mature. So, he has tapo bal. No? He has the strength of tapa, but he is not mature. So, what he does is that he comes out instantly with a curse. He feels that, he feels that, the brahmanas, brahmana class, has been, hurt by, this kshatriya. So that element, we also have this in our present day politics, always classification. So he feels very hurt and he curses. He says that the same snake bird, will come and kill or, murder, take the life of Parikshit Maharaj in 7 days. He curses and he walks out. Later on, his father comes to know that he has cursed like this, and then he is so unhappy. He says that Parikshit Maharaj, Chakravarti Samrat, one who is such a pure devotee of the Lord, you had the audacity to curse this individual. But the harm is already done. Curse is already uttered, and he becomes very, very unhappy. He chastises his son, but harm has already been done. So Parikshit Maharaj, when he comes to know about the curse, what is his reaction? He takes it in his stride. This is the hallmark of an Uttam Adhikari. He says that this is the, will of the Supreme Lord. So, it is immaterial who is coming and, taking away my life, but it is the will of the Lord. And, I surrender to that will of the Lord. So, he immediately relinquishes his kingdom, gives up everything, installs his son, Janmejay, on the throne, and he just walks out with bare minimum of clothes. He comes to the shore of the Ganges river, and there when he arrives there, by that time thousands and thousands of sages from all over the universe are assembled there. It's amazing how that happens. So it's really amazing. Nobody has been invited, but they all come there. They all have come to see how a pure devotee, Parikshit, is going to leave his body. They have come there, not with some mundane curiosity. They have come there to be a part and parcel of that great, momentous event. So they come there, and all the sages have assembled there. So Parikshit Maharaj goes there, and he literally begs of the sages. He says that, I have I know that now my death is inevitable, and you know, I want to know what I have to do. So, Parikshit Maharaj, he asks, you know, two questions to the sages. He asks, one question he asks is, what is the duty of everyone, duty of every human being like us, you know, we are all sitting here, duty of everyone. And then the second question he asks the sages is, what is the duty of one who is going to die shortly? That is the second question. So these two questions are addressed. And he's very perturbed. He wants to hear about Krishna. He wants to hear about the activities of the Lord. So he's very, very anxiously waiting to hear the activities. And in that audience are exalted souls like Vedavyas, father of Shukadeva Goswami, and also Narad Muni. They're all sitting there. And just at that point in time, when Parikshit Maharaj is yearning, you know, to hear about Krishna, at that point in time, what happens? A wonderful personality, Srila Shukadeva Goswami, son of Vyasdeva, appears there. He is dressed in all directions, Digambara, dressed in all directions. He is being followed by urchins, you know, village urchins and some ladies. They think that a madman is there, has come. So he comes to that place where Parikshit Maharaj is sitting, all the sages, assembled sages are sitting. He comes there to that particular place, and he comes there, and when he comes, seeing his effulgent, you know, personality, he's very effulgent, self-realized soul, very effulgent. Seeing him, everyone in the assembly gets up, all the sages, excepting of course Narad Muni and Vyas with his father. Everybody else gets up and says, and he automatically becomes the chosen one, you know, to answer the questions of Parikshit Maharaj. And it is described in the Bhagavatam elsewhere that how long would this Shukadeva Goswami stay at a place? He would stay at a place for the time taken to actually draw milk from a cow. It's called Godohana. So it is described that how much time is taken, you know, to extract. He would just stand there for that time. And it is described, Sagodohana matram hi gruheshu gruhamedinam avekshate mahabhaga tirtha kurvanta tashramam. So the purpose of Shukadeva Goswami was, he is wandering from place to place, and in that process he has reached this site. So he would go to a particular house and just go and stand there, not ask for anything, and the householder is supposed to serve such a wonderful, you know, mendicant. So he would stand there just for the time that is taken, you know, to milk a cow, and then immediately walk out. But the same person, Shukadeva Goswami, comes there and spends, you know, 7 days, you know, speaking about Srimad Bhagavatam. So Krishna has orchestrated the arrival of Srila Shukadeva Goswami to that site. So when the devotees of the Lord are in distress, they are in distress, Krishna himself orchestrates events in such a way that the distress, you know, is removed. So similarly, in the same way, just as Shukadeva Goswami came to the venue, similarly, the Navayogendras, they have come to the sacrificial arena of Nimi Maharaj, with the king of Videha. They have come to that particular spot, and it is described that these Navayogendras, in the earlier verse, it is described that they were, you know, resplendent like the sun. They were shining like the sun himself, the Navayogendras. They are also dressed in all directions. They are Digambara. And these are self-realized great souls, the 9 sons, you know, of Rishabhdev. He had 100 sons, out of which 9 sons. So these sons have arrived there. And after they arrive there, Nimi receives them very nicely, makes arrangements for them, and then shows hospitality to them, and then finally he asks questions. The Srimad Bhagavatam is all about, you know, questions and answers. So he asks questions, and that's what we are reading here. So out of the 9 Yogendras, Kavi has answered the first question: what is the greatest goal for human beings? We already know what is the greatest goal, but he is describing in detail what is the greatest goal. And now we have the second Yogendra, Havir. He is answering the questions of Nimi, in which he is asking about the classification of various devotees. Who is a Kanishta Adhikari, who is a Madhyam Adhikari, who is an Uttam Adhikari. He is asking about that. He is asking about, you know, what is the attitude of such devotees? How do they behave? Something like similar to what Arjuna asked Krishna, you know, about Sitadhi, Sita Prajna. Questions are there in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, similar questions are asked. And elaborately, Havir is, you know, answering these questions. And in this particular text that we are reading today, he is saying that even while engaging in senses, such a Uttam Adhikari, even while engaging his senses in contact with their object, one who sees the whole world as the energy of Lord Vishnu. So these Navayogendras were traveling from place to place, they have come to this venue, and they are eager, you know, to sort out the problems which Nimi has, spiritual problems, and he answers one question after another. So we find that, as I mentioned at the outset, that the Srimad Bhagavatam is full of, you know, Uttama Adhikaris. Not only Uttama, but Uttama Uttama. So Parikshit Maharaj is Uttama Adhikari himself, but we have Shukdev Goswami who comes to give him knowledge. So we have so many. So we also, I would like to talk about couple of personalities from Srimad Bhagavatam. The first person I would like to talk about is about Ambarish Maharaj, who is a real great Vaishnava. Now Ambarish Maharaj was the ruler, great ruler. So he observed a fast, just as we'll be observing a fast tomorrow, it's relevant. So he observed a fast, Nirjala. He observed, he didn't take anything, he didn't take any foodstuff, anything. So he was observing that. And just when, you know, the Parana time came, you know, he wanted to break his fast. At that time, who should arrive there? Durvasa Muni, he arrived there. Now, this entire episode, which is described in great detail in the Srimad Bhagavatam, I'll summarize it briefly. So, Durvasa Muni comes there. He comes there, and then as soon as he comes, Ambarish Maharaj is about to break his fast, but he stops, he doesn't do anything. He receives Durvasa Muni with great honor and with great respect. Durvasa Muni is a yogi, an exalted personality. So he comes there and he is welcomed by Ambarish Maharaj. And Ambarish Maharaj says that, now that you have come, please honor Prasadam with us. So Durvasa is always ready. He says, yes, yes, I will come. So I will go for my snana, purification, and then come back. And he goes for having his bath. And here Ambarish Maharaj is waiting. Durvasa Muni just doesn't come in good time. And the Parana time is almost about to get over. So Ambarish Maharaj is in a dilemma. What do I do? Here, you know, I have said that I want to, you know, give prasadam to the guest, Atithi. And I am also, you know, supposed to, you know, I have kept a fast, and the fast is not for himself, welfare of the citizens. So I have to break the fast also. So what do I do? So he consults some brahmanas, and the brahmanas tell him, you can honor, you know, you can take, you know, charanamrut, little bit, sip a drop of charanamrut. It is as good as, you know, you are breaking your fast. So even on Nirjala Ekadasi, we do honor charanamrut. Here, right? So he says that, you know, you honor that, that will be okay. And just when, you know, he is about, you know, to break his fast, Durvasa Muni storms in. He sees Ambarish Maharaj in the process of, you know, wanting to break his fast, and he becomes furious, angry. Now, a person who has done so much tapasya, but he is not in control of his senses. That's the most important thing. So we may be the best of the devotees, but if we do not control our senses, we cannot make, you know, spiritual progress.
So here Durvasa Muni is not in control of his senses. He becomes highly irritated, very, very angry. And in the spur of his, in the spur of that moment, in that anger, vicious anger, he creates a monster and orders him to kill Amrish Maharaj. Now Amrish Maharaj is folded his hands silently, is waiting, remembering the Supreme Lord. And here is Durvasa Muni, you know, created a Rakshasa to kill. But then, at that time, the chakra, you know, Sudarshan chakra of the Supreme Lord appears there. And it's not that Amrish Maharaj has requested Lord Vishnu to send his chakra. He's just in a prayerful mood, wanting to serve his guest, wanting to serve the Atithi. But it does, that process, that time doesn't come. So he's waiting there, and then that Sudarshana chakra appears of its own volition, and then it comes and chops off, kills that Rakshasa fiend that has been created by Durvasa, and then it starts following Durvasa. Durvasa has to run for his life. He goes to all the lokas. I won't go into the details. He goes to Brahma loka, Shiva loka, finally comes to Vishnu loka, thinking that it is his Sudarshan chakra after all. He'll be able to protect Vishnu. Vishnu says, sorry, I can't help you. So this is the control lies in the hands of Amrish Maharaj. I won't go into the various beautiful verses in Srimad Bhagavatam glorifying Sadhunam, Hrudayam, Mayam. He says that I am in the heart of, you know, my devotees. So they control me. So Amrish has no choice. He has to come back. On one hand, he is so powerful that he can go to all these lokas. But he is so powerless that he cannot do anything about the Sudarshan chakra, which is about to kill him. So he comes, he runs back, falls at the feet of Amrish Maharaj, and says, please save me from this Sudarshan chakra. Amrish Maharaj is so humble. He wonders, you know, why this Durvasa is falling at his feet. But then he says, he understands that it is causing distress to his Atithi. So he simply tells he goes and offers his obeisances to Sudarshan chakra, says that please, you know, please leave this person alone, you know, leave him alone. So Sudarshan chakra returns. So this way he is saved. So it's not that Amrish Maharaj did, you know, tapasya for thousands of years. What was he doing? He was engaging his senses. He was engaging his senses in the service of the Lord. So the Srimad Bhagavatam gives full description of how Amrish Maharaj used to engage his senses. I'll describe briefly. So he would fix his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. He would engage his words in describing the abode of Krishna, his hands in cleaning the temple, his ears in hearing Bhagavad Katha, his eyes on seeing the beautiful form of the Supreme Lord. He would, you know, his nostrils in smelling the beautiful flowers. I feel like smelling the garland here. So many things, nostrils that way. And his tongue, you know, in tasting tulsi that is offered to the Lord. His legs in traveling to the temple. This way, his head in offering obeisances. And his various, you know, desires in fulfilling the desires of the Lord. This way, Amrish Maharaj simply engaged, you know, his senses. And that is what Srila Prabhupada has taught us, that we don't have to do austerities of the type that these yogis or munis perform. We have to simply take to the process of chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We have to take to this sublime process of chanting of the holy names and try and engage our senses in service of the Lord. That is the way we can control. By tapascharya, you do not control your senses. We have examples of Durvasa Muni, we have examples of Sobri Muni, we have examples of Vishwamitra. They are performing, you know, penance, but not controlling the senses. So, Prabhupada has given us a process wherein we can control our senses simply by the process of engaging them in service of the Lord. So this is what we learn from this Uttamadhikari Amrish in this. Then, we have also the beautiful story of Chitraketu Maharaj. So Chitraketu Maharaj was he became a pure devotee of the Lord by worship of the Supreme Lord, And Chitraketu Maharaj was used to travel in his own aeroplanes, used to travel in that. And once he happened to come to on the near about the precincts of Himalaya mountains, and there, you know, Lord Shiva was sitting, and on his lap was Mother Parvati, and he was surrounded by various celibates like Narad Muni and so many others. And Chitraketu happened to see this wonderful sight from a distance, and when he saw this, somehow or the other, he felt like laughing, and he laughed. He said, here is, you know, the emblem, you know, the very personification of tapa, Lord Shiva, austerity, and he has Mother Parvati, and he is giving a sermon, you know, to the celibates. That somehow or the other amused him, and he laughed. Now, Lord Shiva himself was not perturbed by the laughter of Chitraketu, but Mother Parvati was very much perturbed. She was disturbed. See, wives don't like when the husbands are insulted. Hopefully, that is the situation. So he felt very, very, Shiva was at ease, but Mother Parvati became very angry, and she cursed Chitraketu. She cursed Chitraketu, and she said that, you have insulted my husband. You be born in a family of Rakshasas. So, Chitraketu, he got down from his airplane. He realized, you know, that he had really offended Mother Parvati. So he comes there, and there are a lot of beautiful verses. I'll quote just one verse. He says, Pratigrinnati te shapam atmano anjali nambike daivaihi martyaya yat proktam purva drishtam hitasyata. He says that I with folded hands, Mother Ambike, he says that with folded hands, I accept the curse that you have given me. With my folded hands, I accept the curse that you have given me. I receive the curse. And he says that happiness and distress are granted by the demigods for karma that we have done. So I accept. So you have cursed me to be a demon, and I accept it with great joy. It is then that Lord Shiva, who is sitting there, there are many verses, but he quotes here. He says, Narayana parasarve na kutaschana bibhyati swarga apavarga narakasya api tulyartha darshinaha. So at that point in time, Shiva is all admiration for Chitraketu. That here is a person who is such an exalted devotee of the Lord. He has been cursed to be born as a demon, and he is coming with folded hands. My wife has been a little hasty in cursing him, but he comes here and, you know, is apologizing as if he has committed a crime, and then, you know, he's begging, you know, to. So he's all admiration, and he says that these devotees of Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna, they don't care, they carry tuppence, you know, for swarga or naraka. For them, swarga and naraka are the same. So this is the sama bhava which the exalted devotee, samatha. So samatha is very, very important principle in spiritual life. Seeing everyone with equal vision. So these devotees see with equal vision both the swarga as well as, you know, naraka. So he says that this is Chitraketu Maharaj. So he offers all his everything that he has to the Lord. And then the same Chitraketu Maharaj becomes a demon, Vritrasura, who fights with Indra. So he is a, you can call him a demon devotee, but he is a devotee demon. A great devotee of the Lord in demon's body. So that is Vritrasura. Very fascinating, you know, account is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which many of you may have already read. So very beautiful account. So same Chitraketu becomes Vritrasura. That is the story. So he takes the curse in his stride. He's not at all, as they say, he's unfazed by the curse which Mother Parvati gives. And then we come back to Parikshit Maharaj. He's an Uttamadhikari himself. How? So he says, he says, Parikshit Maharaj, when he's cursed by Sringi, he accepts the curse in his stride. And then what does he say? How does he accept it? What is his consciousness while accepting? That is what is important. He says, I'll read what is Srila Prabhupada has written in his purport. He says, due to my being too much attached to family life, the Lord, in order to save me, has appeared before me in such a way only, out of fear I will detach myself from the world. So he says that, you know, I am too much attached to material world, which is not. But he says, Parikshit Maharaj says, I am too much attached to the material world. But Lord has sent me this, you know, snake bird. So out of fear at least, you know, I will detach myself. That is how, you know, he is not finding fault either with the one who has cursed him or with the Supreme Lord. He says that, no, Krishna has taught me a lesson this way. You know, he is sending this snake bird. This way, he accepts whatever happens. So, an Uttam Adhikari, with equal vision, he sees, you know, Krishna's presence everywhere. You know, he sees the energy of Lord Vishnu, and he is neither repelled nor elated by things that happen. If some good things happen, he accepts it in his stride. Some bad things happen. Sukha dukke same krutva labha labhau jaya jayo. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Sukha dukke same krutva. Whether it is sukha or whether it is dukkha, labha labhau. Whether it is profit or whether it is loss, he accepts it in his stride. That is how, you know, it is described. So, Parikshit Maharaj accepts that situation. And then we have another exalted soul, that is Kunti Devi. She is also, you know, an Uttam Adhikari of the highest caliber. Her prayers are recited by all the sages. So Kunti Devi, her one shloka I will just cite. Vipadaha santuta shashvat tatra tatra jagat guru bhavato darshanam yat syat apunaha bhavadarshanam. She says that, O Lord, O Krishna, give me difficulties one after other. No problem. Because when the difficulties are there, you know, we remember you. We remember you with great love. So you please keep on piling, you know, problems. And what problems the Pandavas face, one after other. So many of the Pandavas are also Uttam Adhikaris. We won't go into the details. But Kunti Devi, their mother, she's praying. So she's saying that, Vipadaha Santu Shashvat. I wish that all calamities would happen again and again, so that we would see you again and again. So seeing Krishna is her greatest, you know, gain. And she doesn't mind going through any problems in life. So this is the quality, or this is the caliber of an Uttam Adhikari. She wants, in any case, you know, see the Supreme Lord. In everything that happens in their life, she sees the hand of the Supreme Lord. So this is Kunti Devi. This way, in these verses, we have a description of what an Uttam Adhikari is. And as I mentioned in the beginning, we don't have to go far, you know, to look out for Uttam Adhikaris. So, they are there on different pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. At so many places, we have Uttam Adhikari. So many examples of Uttam Adhikari. We have Vidura, we have so many. One could go on, you know, talking, glorifying each of these Uttam Adhikaris, and all the classes would be consumed only in this. But there are other people to speak, and there is a second part to this verse also, which will be presented on Tuesday. So, today also happens to be, I think, the disappearance day of Baldev Vidyabhushan. I am not such an authority on Baldev Vidyabhushan, but I will speak a few words about him to pay our respects. He is one of the great acharyas in our sampradaya, Baldev Vidyabhushan. So, he was born in the early part of 18th century and in a village near Remuna. Actually, when we went to Remuna recently, they showed us the place where they indicated to us where he was born, that place. So, he was a son of a Vaishya, and he received his education, thorough education, in Sanskrit, in logic, in Vyakarana, rhetoric, so Vaishnava scriptures. And at a very young age, he stayed in Jagannath Puri, and he became a renowned scholar, and he traveled around India to all the holy places. So Baldev Vidyabhushan once came to Puri, where he met one guru. His name is Radha Damodar Goswami, who was actually in the line of Rasa, what is that? Rasikananda, who is a disciple of Shyamananda Prabhu, incidentally. So, exalted souls. So, he was a disciple of that. And he came under his influence. Though he was earlier, you know, in Madhva Sampradaya, which is also in one way connected with us. We are Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. But he accepted completely the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the preaching of this Guru. And he associated himself with Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, one of the greatest, you know, proponents of Vaishnavism in our Sampradaya. So he became his student. It so happened that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was once invited to a conference on Vaishnavism. No, it was a conference on Vaishnavism. He was invited there. But somehow or the other, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, because of old age, and he had become very feeble, he was not in a position to attend. So somebody had to represent Gaudiya Vaishnavas in that conference. And so Baldev Vidyabhushan was invited. He was told that you represent us. So he's a great acharya in our sampradaya. Well, we see him there. His archa vigraha is kept in the thing. So he was asked to represent. So he furnished beautiful, you know, arguments in favor of Vaishnavism, Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. He presented so many theories, so many tenets. But somehow or the other, his proposals were not accepted by others who attended. So it so happened that there was a problem also in, this was in Jaipur, there was a problem also in Jaipur. So in Jaipur the problem was there were deities of Radha Govind and Srimati Radharani, and somehow or the other their worship, you know, was stopped by, that means the Gaudiya Vaishnavas were stopped from serving the deities. So that was another issue, and the reason why they were not allowed to serve was because there was no literature, there was no bhashya, no commentary on Gaudiya Vaishnavism by anybody. Question may arise, why was that? Now, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he believed that Srimad Bhagavatam itself is a commentary on anything. So he believed that. So therefore he did not bother about this bhashya. But later on, the situation here in Jaipur became critical. The king was a Gaudiya Vaishnava. He was initiated in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And the Ramanandis, who were in the Sri sect, they were opposing tooth and nail the worship of. They said that these Gaudiya Vaishnavas are not qualified because they don't have any bhashya. They have no commentary. So they can't show this. Every other sampradaya has. They don't have. So the first problem which Baldev Vidyabhushan faced after reaching the venue of the conference was that, where is your, you know, commentary? Where is it? So he went into solitude and he prayed to Radha Govind in completely, you know, unburdened his total heart. He gave away his heart because he said that here I am, you know, representing, you know, my guru. I am representing him, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. But I am not in a position to defend because, you know, we don't have any bhashya. So Lord Govinda, you know, compassionate as he is, he appeared in his dream and told him, don't worry. You just go there and start writing. And go to the temple, and Radha Govind temple, and I will dictate. And sure enough, within few days, you know, Baldev Vidyabhushan, you know, completed his commentary, which is called now Govinda Bhashya. It is one of the literary works of Baldev Vidyabhushan. He completed that Govinda Bhashya, and after completing that Govinda Bhashya, he was able to adequately, you know, challenge all opposition, and he was able to convince the Ramanandis, as they are called, who are opposing, you know, the worship of Radha Govind. So he was able to convince them that they can worship. And the king, you know, ordered that they should be given priority in worshipping of Srimati Radharani. This way, Baldev Vidyabhushan, you know, he defended, you know. So he's, we owe all our debt of gratitude to this great personality who did all this wonderful activities. He has written many books. Out of them, the principal ones are Govinda Bhashya, Siddhanta Ratna, Vedanta Samanta, Pramaya Ratnavali, Ashwarya Kadambini. So many. There's a big list of books which he has written. A great literary figure after Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who has compiled so much of Vaishnava literature. We owe our debt of gratitude to this stalwart Vaishnava Acharyas who compiled so much literature for us. Without that Vaishnava literature, we would be nowhere. So all that. Of course, this thing coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his Shikshashtakam is itself a composite, you know, whole. It has everything that you need to know. But he didn't write many things, so his disciples, the Shad Goswamis, and in the same parampara, Vishwanath Goswami and this Baldev Vidyabhushan and others have compiled literary works which are very, very prominent, which devotees even to this day can use and be satisfied. So I would like to end here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Bhagavat Puranam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanandi.
Hare Krishna. So, request you to be kindly be seated for 2 minutes.